I'm suggesting that we listen to the people who attacked us and the reason they did it. And they are delighted that we're over there because Osama bin Laden has said, I am glad you're over on our sand because we can target you so much easier. They have already now, since that time, have killed 3,400 of our men, and I don't think it was necessary.
Wendell, may I make a comment on that? That's really an extraordinary statement. That's an extraordinary statement as someone who lived through the attack of September 11. That we invited the attack because we were attacking Iraq. I don't think I've ever heard that before, and I've heard some pretty absurd explanations for September 11. And I would ask the congressman to withdraw that comment and tell us that he didn't really mean that.
Congressman?
I believe very sincerely that the CIA is correct when they teach and talk about blowback. When we went into Iran in 1953 and installed the Shah, yes, there was blowback. The reaction to that was the taking of our hostages, and that persists. And if we ignore that, we ignore that at our own risk, that if we think that we can do what we want around the world and not incite hatred, then we have a problem. They don't come here to attack us because we're rich and we're free. They come and they attack us because we're over there. I mean, what would we think if we were, if other foreign countries were doing that to us?
Can I have 30 seconds, please?
No, wait a second.
Wendell, go ahead.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. And
you need a
Daniel. I understand that we have a slightly different type of program today. That you might have a few questions for me.
I do, and as anybody might guess that's tuned in, this week is really the 10th anniversary of that famous, infamous, whatever you want to call it, debate in South Carolina, 2007, GOP debate. Rudy Giuliani, the hero of 9/11, the front runner for the presidency in 2008, dared to challenge him. He built his entire notoriety on 9/11. You dared to challenge him. And this is the famous clip, the Giuliani moment. Unfortunately, we didn't do the whole thing, but we did a good chunk of it. And I think a lot of people, you know, look back on this and they wonder, how did you feel then? What did it feel like when you were standing there? What was going through your mind?
Well, I didn't have much time to think about feelings. I had only my thoughts about how am I going to answer the question. And I wasn't thinking about the audience. I wasn't thinking about the bigger audience outside. I was thinking about the question and what my job was, and that was to present a position which I knew was challenging. I guess the during that episode, I guess it was at the time when there was tremendous applause, not for me, tremendous applause for Giuliani. I was like, well, it didn't like say, oh, this is devastating. Oh, what did I get myself into? How am I going to get myself? None of that. It was just that this is routine. This is the way it works. You didn't expect, this crowd to be 100%. You came here to convert the crowd. I don't think it did too much converting of that crowd. But right afterwards, I can remember Kent Snyder, you know, our friend that we've lost, who was the campaign manager, because he knew there was some stress on that, and the media was hounding me and all that. But he came up behind me and says, guess what, Ron? You're winning the polls on the TV. He wanted to settle me. I didn't even thought about that yet, about the polls. But to me, it was challenging. I didn't realize the significance. I don't think anybody else knew the significance of it, because it was a confrontation that turned out to be, couldn't have been planned. Giuliani couldn't have planned it. He didn't have any plans to help me get my message out. I couldn't have planned it. I couldn't have thought about my answer. I didn't know the question. But I did know the issue, and I felt confident. I've often said I've never been the best to give the magnificent speeches and all, but I do believe that the message is very powerful. And that, to me, was the important thing, and this gave me the chance, because you worked with me for so many years. years, and the war issue was a big issue. We worked so hard to try to stay out of Iraq and out of Afghanistan, and it was a big event. So this to me was it turned out to be an opportunity, but I didn't think of it as being that big of an event, that it was that major, and it was just sort of, this is the way, you know, our issues have been treated with sort of low expectations. A lot of people ask me, don't you get tremendously discouraged? I said, really not. I just don't have these blown up expectations that I'm going to save the world. I think maybe my opponent that night had a blown up expectation of him becoming president. So that was, so the thoughts weren't, racing through as much as I got to stay on message.
And, you know, in putting this into historical context is important, too, because this is 2007. We just had the 2006 midterm elections. A lot of the other Republicans who had voted against the war, there are only a handful of them, they'd been primaried out. I think Hostetler was primaried out. A few others were. And there was a big Democrat rush. But the Iraq war was still extremely popular among Republicans at that time. And here you walked onto a stage where a Republican who made his name, who made the front-runner status as a hawk, controlled the crowd. It didn't seem to faze you.
No, and you know, 08, you know, even though some of the people who were against the war didn't do well politically, you take a Jimmy Duncan, a great friend, and he voted against it on basic principle, and he came from what I consider the old right, the Robert Taft position. He didn't think we should be involved, and yet, in 08, it was a terrible year for the Republicans. Bush was a bad name, and he, of course, participated in. I think we lost the House at that time. It had to do with the war, so sentiments had shifted. But in the meantime, I can recall Jimmy Duncan when he told me, he says, that was the toughest vote he ever cast. He dreaded the fact he had to go home and face the music, and they did give him a lot of challenges, but he's really well known and respected in his district. But he said not too many years afterwards, he says, Ron, it was tough at the beginning, but he says, it's one of my most popular votes and the vote he was most proud of. And I thought, well, that was pretty neat that he stuck to his guns.
And he's never backed down, and he continues to get reelected, I'm sure, as long as he'd like to, because like you, he's a very straight shooter. He tells it like it is.
And, I think people's ideas do change. I was always so pleased, and we still talk about our friend Walter Jones, because he voted for it, and he was representing a military district, and he thought, well, I'm in a military district, and they say you have to be pro-military and pro-war, or you're un-American, you blame America first, all that nonsense. And he finally, the crowning thing for him, he told me, was when I asked him, what got you to change a bit on this war issue? And he said it was my inability to believe my own government. Mm. Because he went, and he was very serious about his job. He went to all the briefings and listened to the briefings, and it was all propaganda. You remember the propaganda, how they went to the UN and everything else trying to justify war. So when it dawned on him that he had been lied to, that's when he switched over and said that he's not going to trust the officials to come and tell us why we had to send these kids off to war. And it hasn't hurt him politically either.
It hasn't, but initially it was very bad. I remember seeing him walk down the halls and Republicans would turn the other way. They'd turn their heads. Nobody would say hello to him. Nobody would talk to him. He was really ostracized because he was sort of the face of the pro-Iraq war movement. It takes awful lot of courage to turn your back, but it hasn't worked out badly for him in the end. But for a lot of us who were with you and working for you and everything, it was, and I think a lot of your followers, that was sort of a JFK moment. Where were you when Ron Paul did this? And I remember sitting in my living room watching it, and our instinct on your congressional staff was to always protect, you from bad publicity or what have you. And so I was worried with the Giuliani clapping, and I thought, what's going to happen? You know, this is really frightening. And then all of a sudden, I think a lot of us were surprised that, and I would take issue with people say this launched the movement. That, I don't think that's the case. But what this did, I think, is gave it a real energy drink and propelled it into the stratosphere.
No, and obviously, you know, when I made my recommendations for the reading list for Giuliani, obviously my views came from reading and studying other people. Sort of reminds me about how I came about understanding and believing in Austrian economics. I said, you know, when I really got excited about Austrian economics is because I came to these conclusions. Then I discovered Austrian economics, and they agreed with me. But obviously what had happened was I was influenced by their ideas, and I was talking their language. But no, people come before us, and ideas, spread like wildfires, and you don't know exactly where they come from. You read a lot of books from me, you don't know exactly, but they come together, and there is an influence. And I think that's what the Liberty Movement was all about, and I think the foreign policy. But I've said it so many times that at times was pretty tough when we were trying to get votes on the House floor, and we believed the sentiment in the country was more in favor of ours, and we'd get 6 or 8 or 10 people and a few Democrats that were pro-war, and it's still a small group, but I still think the American people, you know, are opposed to this nonsense. And I think one of the things that helped Trump was the fact that he decided to take a slightly different tone with Russia.
Yeah.
You know, and even Nixon, he took a different tone about the war. He was the anti-war candidate. He was going to end this stuff, and of course that didn't happen either. So very often, and you know, how about Johnson and Goldwater? They painted him. Goldwater was going to blow up the world with nuclear weapons. Such evil demagogues,
yeah.
You know, in order to promote, you know, the constant war. That's how powerful the military-industrial complex is. And they have, of course, so much control in the media, and they do influence a lot of people. But I think that we're in better shape now than we were in the 08 election. More people involved, more young people. Yes, the campuses are a mess now with what's going on with the professors and the administration promoting cultural Marxism, but there's still a nucleus people on campuses that know exactly what we're talking about, and they're pro-peace, and they're pro-national defense in a positive way, and that is out there. And besides, I keep telling people it's not exactly the numbers. Yes, of course, that night, if you want to give me the benefit of the doubt and say I won that debate, but not for that audience, you know, I would have gone about 3%. But it isn't the numbers, it's quality and outreach and how a message is spread. And if it's a positive and a popular viewpoint and it's expressed well, it will spread. They can't stop it. They can demagogue it. They can use political stunts. They can call you all kinds of names, but these views will spread, and I think they have in these last 10 years since that happened. I think we still, you know, the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity, what you're doing, I don't think, let's say you had come to the office in 2002 and said, Ron, you know, I've had a year's experience here. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to drop out and we're going to start this institute. It wasn't ready. But now things are ready, and you're doing tremendous work with the Institute, and it's designed specifically to promote this issue, pro-peace, pro-national defense, where you can defend the country, but not sacrifice ourselves to all the other countries in the world. So, but you can see why, you know, with the frustrations out there, why people would be tempted to fall in line with the president. Because he throws out a little bit, and everybody, you know, even those who knew they should be skeptical would say, well, maybe it'll be different this time. Well, right now, we're starting to realize, unfortunately, that our opposition, which means the organized efforts who are always promoting war and are who profit from war, they're still very, very powerful. But we have the side, we have truth on our side, and I believe that our strength, the movement's strength, it will continue to grow, and that one of these days we're going to wake up. The markets today are rocky for various reasons. Someday they're going to be more than just rocky, and things will have to change. The dollar's been weak in the last week, but not crashing. Someday the dollar will crash, and all of a sudden, even today, you know, with minor changes, comparatively speaking, changes, they say, oh, I guess the Fed's going to have to cancel cancel their mischief for June and not lower the interest rates a quarter of a percent. Like, it blew the whole thing. Well, yeah, an incident like this does alter things like that. So it's going to be, when the crisis gets bigger, believe me, there's going to be a lot of reassessment. I was quizzed today on TV that said, you know, what about the markets? Will it be more difficult to get the Republican position passed, you know, because of the problems in Washington? Well, probably, but the real issue is the the economy is in such a mess.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, 10 years on, the Ron Paul movement continues. There is no Giuliani movement. Giuliani was just turns out to be just another of the neocons who are still prominent. We don't have any illusions about that. They're still around. But we seem to be gaining momentum. Of course, there are stops and starts, but it continues. And I, for my closing, if you'll indulge me to be slightly longer than usual, I have a JPEG with a picture that you didn't like that much when I showed it to you, but I like it, and I think our audience is going to like it. I just love this. This is from the American Conservative back in 2012, and it's a piece by Jim Antle. This is just as you were about, it's the end of 2012, just as you were about to leave office. And I'll read it quickly because I think it's a good summation. Jim writes, when Ron Paul leaves office in January, he will have been more successful than many of the legislators who spent decades maligning him. Paul's ideas have gradually gone from marginal to mainstream, and his record shows how much even a single determined man of principle can do to change a movement. In foreign policy especially, the Texas congressman leaves behind a new generation of leaders, both libertarian and conservative, who challenge the disastrous bipartisan consensus. That's a pretty nice summation. I have some slight quibbles, but I think it's pretty well done.
Very, very nice. And, you know, all I was thinking about when you were reading that is that hope nobody thinks it's fake news. I hope they don't think it's propaganda. It sounded very honest, and, of course, people like to be complimented. So that is very nice.
And I would like to also say, you know, thanks for, you know, your comments about the Ron Paul Institute. We've been working together for a while now, and I think this really is the extension of what you did, the extension, the spirit of 2007, what we're doing to expand the idea of non-interventionism. And it does seem like our time has come. And, you know, I would like to ask people if they would consider supporting the Ron Paul Institute. You know, we produce the show, we co-produce the show. Your donations are completely tax deductible. You go to this website and help us continue doing what we're doing to grow the movement, to continue the movement. We've got a lot of big plans. We've got a lot of people to convert still, and we keep going on. So,
right. And I, too, would urge people to be supportive of the Institute. Daniel has done a great job. And we're making progress, but we obviously always need some help. And it's always tough, you know, to get the finances of doing things like this. In particular, you know, the opposition, the military-industrial complex. When you think of their lobbying groups in Washington, they spend millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars on lobbying and campaigning to make sure our message doesn't get heard. But there's every reason to believe that this is that we are making very nice progress. This has been, you know, an interesting program to refresh our memory of what happened back then. As has been asked so often, were you pretty despondent about everything that was happening there? Not really. But I think the end has turned out very well. I think people remember it in a very positive fashion, and hopefully, you know, that the simple process of knowing something, seeking truth, speak it clearly, and do your best to be consistent will pay off in the end. And it may pay off in a way that you don't even know. Sometimes it just might happen that you spread a message and you never know where it goes. I never really expected the message I was delivering, it was somebody else's message, that they may or may not remember what I did. But it turned out that events put it together, and we were able to reach a lot of people, and I see it as very positive. I want to thank all of you for the support over the years, for what I've tried to do and what you have done to help the Liberty Movement. This will continue to flourish, and I'm optimistic on the long run, in spite of the fact that there's a mess in Washington. But believe me, it's going to be an opening for us to promote the cause of liberty. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.